Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is an audio of the issue on my website, authorityresearch.com, entitled Satan's Device. I'm going to read and add, and I may repeat myself, having added information as I go along, and then repeat later on that's written down. But it's important to understand the difference between discussion and dialogue, and that's what this issue is all about. I tend to get the deer in a headlight look from people, but it's very important, having studied Kurt Lewin and Karl Marx, they understood it and knew how to use it, the difference between the two. And so this is explaining the difference between discussion and dialogue. And there is a major difference. And it's explained in Scripture. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is of, not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2, verse 16. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2, verse 7. Now I share that because we have right there the difference between discussion and dialogue. Because dialogue is the carnal nature of man, formed from the dust of the ground. And discussion deals with the living soul. You either reason from what you've been told, discussion, or you reason from your carnal nature, dialogue. When it comes to behavior, those who are of the Father go to discussion. That which is, or those who are of the world go to dialogue. Old school is discussion, that is, doing what the Father says. Contemporary education, on the other hand, is dialogue, that is, only of the world. Carl Rogers, in his book On Becoming a Person, A Therapist's View of Psychotherapy, put it this way: prior to therapy, the person is prone to ask himself, what would my parents want me to do? That would be a discussion. During the process of therapy, the individual comes to ask himself, what does it mean to me? That's dialogue. I encourage you to see the chart, the DIPRAX chart. DIPRAX simply is the dialogue being put into praxis. That's negating the Father's authority in the process. And then the chart that follows, I'll go through each one of these. There's the patriarch, the matriarch, and the heresiarch. The patriarch is absolute. It's of the Father. And that's where we find discussion. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That is discussion. It's being told. It's the living soul. The soul knows by being told. Reasoning from being told. I know because I was told. There's no guilty conscience having obeyed. That is, having done what you've been told. Commands, rules, facts, and truth are established. Therefore, they are objective in discussion. And this is all explained in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 5 through 11. Now, on the other side of the chart is heresiarch. That's where we get change, heresy. That's of the world, only of the world. And that's dialogue. Again, the Bible says we're not to lean to our own understanding, but here you lean to your own understanding in dialogue, because it's a I feel and I think. It's stimulus response. It's the carnal nature and the world that stimulates it. The flesh knows by sense experience. Reasoning is from sense experience. I know because I feel and I think. They're having no guilty conscience. In dialogue, there is no guilty conscience for doing wrong, since there is no wrong that is no established command, rule, fact, or truth to disobey in dialogue. Everything is an opinion. That is, everything is subjective. It's subject to dialogue. Now, the matriarch is in the middle. It's where we're caught between discussion and dialogue. We're of the flesh. We have the flesh. That's dialogue. And we also have the soul, which is discussion. And they don't mix. Now, see, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We, for some reason, think these mix, and they are not. They are opposite. And so we're caught between being told versus stimulus response, doing what we want to do that the world stimulates. So, you know, we're drawn to the things of the world in opposition to what we've been told. And therefore, if we have both discussion and dialogue, we have a guilty conscience when after we've been told to do something or not to told not to do something and we disobey. And that's called belief action dichotomy. And we find that in Romans, the 7th chapter, verses 14 through 25, where Apostle Paul says, I do that which I don't want to do, and I don't do that which I want to do. So there's the difference between the discussion and dialogue we have going on within us. Now, the dialogue is revealed to us in Scripture, and that is Genesis 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. That is where there should have been a discussion, in other words, what Dad said. But what Dad said was put aside and redefined through dialogue, through what a person felt. Karl Marx, rejecting the father's authority, discussion, believed, as explained by Frederick Engels, in the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. Satan's device, that is, dialectic philosophy, that is, reasoning from the flesh, is the praxis of using dialogue, that is, feelings, stimulus response, to come to the truth, making behavior subject to change, that is, subject to the immediate environment, that is, subject to the lusts of the moment that the world stimulates, hating restraint, that is, hating the Father's authority for getting in the way. Benjamin Bloom, in his book, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive Domain, by which all educators are certified and schools accredited today, paraphrasing Karl Marx, wrote, "We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative, and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all times and all places." What are called Bloom's taxonomies, which are really Marxist curriculum, define and establish behavior using dialogue, negating any external top-down authority, which would be discussion, in establishing right and wrong behavior. The Marxist Antonio Gramsci, quoted in Selections from the Prison Notebooks, he was thrown in prison by Mussolini, he died in prison, wrote these notebooks, they even have them in cartoon forms for university students to read. He states, the philosophy of praxis is the absolute secularization of thought, an absolute humanism of history. See, and I'll get into this. In dialogue, you're God. In discussion, God is God. There's a difference. The name for the national test for teachers is praxis, making reasoning subject only to man's carnal nature, that is, lust and the world that stimulates it. The Scriptures warn us of such times as these, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, that would be discussion. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, in other words, wanting to hear something new, that would be dialogue, and they should be turned away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. There is no fear before their eyes. God is not in all their thoughts. That's Psalms 36, 1 and Psalms the 10th chapter 4. Satan's device is to replace discussion, what the Father says, that is, what you've been told, with dialogue, your carnal desires, your lust of the moment that the world is stimulating when it comes to behavior. Which method you choose in establishing behavior controls the outcome. How the next generation will communicate with and respond to itself, to others, to the world, and authority. Discussion being loyal to the Father, respecting authority. Dialogue being loyal to self and the world only. Questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking authority. Discussion is of the Father. Dialogue is of you. Discussion and dialogue are two opposing political systems. One rules over or negates the other. Discussion only recognizes the Father's authority being told. Dialogue, on the other hand, only recognizes the carnal nature of the child, sense experience. When discussion is brought into an environment establishing behavior via dialogue, the person insisting upon discussion, that is what the Father says, will always be accused of being argumentative, that is, prejudiced, negative, intolerant, divisive, unreasonable, hateful, a lower order thinker, maladjusted, unadaptable to change, not a team player, judgmental, and so forth. When he is only trying to persuade, make thought and therefore behavior subject to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that is, to being told. When dialogue, on the other hand, is brought into an environment establishing behavior upon discussion, that would be the Father, the person will always be accused of being rebellious, in other words, disrespectful to authority, when he is only trying to seduce, deceive, and manipulate. Others make thought and therefore behavior subject to feelings, that is to sense experience. You persuade with facts. You manipulate with feelings. By using discussion when it comes to behavior, thus cutting off dialogue, lust becomes sin, making doing the Father's will, righteousness, the norm. By using dialogue when it comes to behavior, thus cutting off discussion, lust is no longer sin, but simply human nature, making sin, unrighteousness, the norm. The Marxist, Kurt Lewin, knew the force of each and how to identify them, what he called force field analysis. And when it came to behavior, knew how to move people from the one, discussion, to the other, dialogue. In other words, how to unfreeze, move, and refreeze them, especially through the use of the group, what he called group dynamics. That is, where the pleasure which comes from approval from others and the pain of rejection pressures a person to abandon discussion, that is, what the Father says, for the sake of dialogue, that is, relationship with a group, in order to initiate and sustain the change process. Discussion being the force of the Father, who has the final say, which is negative to the flesh, and dialogue being the force of the flesh, where the child, that is you, have the final say, which is positive to the flesh. Anytime you're in a meeting where you are told to be positive and not negative when it comes to behavior, now you know what it's really all about. For the Marxist, or godlessness, where collectively everyone is God, to rule, discussion must be replaced with dialogue. Discussion must be negated in order, as in New World Order, for everyone to do wrong, disobey sin, that is to lust, without being judged, condemned, or cast out, doing so without having a guilty conscience. When it comes to behavior, substituting discussion with dialogue, that is, what the Father says, old school, with your opinion, contemporary education, that is, what you know, in caps, from being told, and how you feel and what you think that the world's stimulating. That is, facts are replaced with feelings, making feelings facts. Faith is replaced with sight. Eternal life, the there and then, is replaced with eternal present, the here and now. Humbling, denying, and dying to yourself is replaced with living in the moment. By doing so, all you have to look forward to is dying in your sins, spending eternity not in the glory, peace, and joy, and love of the Lord, but in the lake of fire that is never quenched, prepared for all who substitute what the Father says with the pleasures, the lusts of the moment that the world stimulates. Revelation chapter 10, verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Those intoxicated with, possessed by, and addicted to dialogue, that is to their self, that is to lust when it comes to behavior, cannot accept God's judgment upon them for their sins, that is for their unrepentant heart, since perceiving their self as being God, since you're God in dialogue, sin and God's judgment upon it or you is no longer an issue, since being God, sin's not found in you, only doing things badly at the most, which is simply an opinion. George Hegel, as cited in Carl Friedrich's book, The Philosophy of Hegel, wrote, "When a man has finally reached the point where he does not think he knows it better than others, that is when he has become indifferent to what they have done badly, and he is only interested in what they have done right, then peace and affirmation have come to him." The opposite of right is wrong, not badly. Using badly in place of wrong makes being or doing wrong an opinion, not a fact or truth. There is no wrong in dialogue, except right-wrong thinking. Making discussion, established commands, rules, facts, and truth, subject to the current situation, that is, an opinion. Basically, you can tell somebody they're wrong, and they'll just say, "Well, that's your opinion." And you say, "No, you're wrong." "Well, that's your opinion." "Well, no, you're wrong." "Well, that's your opinion." "No, you're wrong." "No, well, that's your opinion." See, and one's discussion and the other's dialogue. And those who are possessed by dialogue won't go to discussion because they don't ever want to be accused of being wrong. As long as you stay in dialogue, you're never wrong. Peace, according to Hegel, thus means one can sin, that is lust, that is enjoy the carnal pleasures of the moment without having a guilty conscience, that is without being held accountable, receiving the approval or the affirmation of others, initiating and sustaining what I would call worldly peace and socialist harmony. The error in this reasoning is a man can only judge a person from his own carnal nature, right being anyone justifying his carnal nature, that is, his propensity to lust after pleasure that the world is stimulating, and wrong being anyone judging him for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting after pleasure, which makes truth subjective, that is, ever subject to change. There's your heresy article paradigm. George Hegel's dictum, establishing a standard for reasoning, replacing the word wrong, a command, rule, fact, or truth, with the word badly, an opinion, is logically wrong, that is, irrational and deceptive, making it wrong for anyone to accuse him, or anyone else reasoning like him, of being or doing wrong. This is the reasoning that now permeates our culture. People just can't accept that they were wrong. In discussion, God is God. Now, this is important. In dialogue, you are God. When dialogue, your carnal nature or lust, or what can I get out of this situation or object, people, or person for myself, is made subject to restrained by discussion. See, under dialogue, under the Father's authority, what you want to do is made subject to or restrained by discussion. What does my Father want me to do? God directs your steps. Nevertheless, thy will be done. So you might have dialogue within yourself, but you also have discussion. And I'll get ahead of myself. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The heart is dialogue. The word of God is discussion. So you have put discussion, what Dad says, in your heart, your dialogue, so you won't go and do what you're dialoguing with yourself about, and you won't sin against God. I feel and I think is dialogue. Dad says is discussion. Man doesn't live by bread alone. And now you can have dialogue. I like this. I don't like that. But by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God, which is discussion. So there's a place for dialogue. But when you bring dialogue over into developing behavior, which God has established, You've replaced discussion, what Dad says, with your opinion, how you feel and what you think. When discussion, what the Father says, the Father's commands, rules, facts, and truth, is made subject to dialogue, what you want to do, God is negated in your thoughts. You can't tell me what I can and can't do, directly affecting your actions. While with God, discussion, doing the Father's will, is the only means of communication. Again, with God, there's only one means of communication, and that is discussion. There's no dialogue before God. With man, being both a living soul and flesh, both discussion, doing the Father's will, and dialogue, doing His will, are His means of communication. So we have both, making Him, when it comes to reasoning, both objective and subjective. Objective would be discussion, subjective would be dialogue. Deductive and inductive. Deductive would be discussion, inductive would be dialogue. Belief and theory. Belief would be discussion, Dad says, and theory would be your opinion, that would be dialogue. And so we just continue on. Position, he has, and opinion. Right, wrong, that's discussion, and like, dislike, which would be dialogue. Absolute, eternal, unchanging discussion. You know, when Dad says you do this and don't do that, he doesn't add, oh, by the way, if it gets in the way of what you want to do, just ignore what I just said. No, it's absolute. It's external and it's unchanging. So that's discussion. And dialogue, which is relative. It's temporal. It's ever subject to change. Intolerant. Discussion is intolerant because I said so. It's written. And tolerant. That's dialogue. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I know, and know is in caps, because I've been told. And on the other side, I feel and I think. In other words, sense experienced. Patient, that's discussion. God's patient. He's not tolerant, but He's patient. And impulsive, that's dialogue. Top-down, discussion, and equal, dialogue. In dialogue, we're equal. In discussion, it's a top-down system. Fellowship, which is discussion, and relationship, which is dialogue. Those are two different. Cognitive, discussion, true meaning of the word cognitive, and affective, that's dialogue, feelings. Negative to the flesh would be discussion, and positive to the flesh would be dialogue. Righteousness or virtuous, and sensuousness or lasciviousness. So we have both law and lawfulness. Law is what discussion, what God gives us, or the parent, and lawfulness is the law of the flesh. In other words, we're just doing what we feel like doing, and that's now the law. Purpose given to us, discussion from the Father, and purposiveness, that's a feeling that comes from us. So it's purpose-driven life is now what we want out of life, not what somebody's told us. Chastisement, which is discussion, because if you disobey, you're going to be chastised. And affirmation, because in dialogue, that's what you're looking for, affirmation. There and then, and here and now. Humbling, denying, dying to self, and on the other side, esteeming self. Divided upon right and wrong, that's discussion, and united upon self or self-interest or lust, that's dialogue. The guilty conscience, that comes from discussion. And the superego from dialogue. There's the difference. And it's which way you communicate will engender whether it's a guilty conscience or a superego. Faith, and that'd be a seared conscience by the Bible's terms. Faith, discussion, Dad says you accept it. And sight, sense experienced. Being told, that's discussion, and sense experience would be dialogue. Above, you're being told from above, and below, in other words, all of us are equal, and it wouldn't see below, it just being equal, but because of discussion, there's above and below. Spirit and flesh. Telling you up front, in other words, going to tell you everything, you can eat all these trees, you can't eat that one, and seduction, deception, and manipulation. other words, not telling you or anyone else up front what's really going on, because if you did, you wouldn't be able to get what you wanted. Established and continuously changing, situational. So unchanging, and on the, that's discussion. It's not changed very easily. You have to be persuaded. And on the other side would be dialogue, which is continuously changed because it's situational. And this goes on. And so you can compartmentalize these two different, the effects of discussion versus dialogue in your life. The problem comes when you use dialogue doing your will in the realm of discussion doing the Father's will when it comes to behavior. When it comes to behavior, when you start with discussion, that is what the Father says, or the Father commands, rules, facts, and truth, dividing between your doing right, blessing you, and your doing wrong, correcting, reproving, chastening, or casting you out. But when you start with dialogue, if you start with discussion, there's chastisement, see? There's judgment. There's being cast out. But in dialogue, and when you make dialogue the only means of communication, in other words, let's be positive and not negative. You ever been in a room like that? Let's be positive, not negative. Discussion, the Father's authority, is negated, because that would be the negative. You just got rid of it. You left it out. We're not going to have a discussion. Everything is in dialogue. That's why when you try to have an honest discussion with people, now they'll call it a discussion, but it's really the result of dialogue. It's the difference between having a real steel chain and a paper mache chain. It seems to be science. It seems to be discussion. If it comes through dialogue, it's not a discussion. You are uniting with all those that are of the world. So in dialogue, unite with the world, thinking and acting according to your carnal nature without godly restraint. See, we're caught with both. So as long as you have discussion and dialogue going on, you'll have a guilty conscience when you do wrong because you've been told what's right and what's wrong. But if we go peer over to dialogue, and that's where our culture is today, there's no guilty conscience. You can kill the unborn without having a guilty conscience. You know, the people who have discussion in their life think they can bring facts into these people that are totally over onto the right side of the chart on the heresy arc paradigm and throw facts at them, and then they won't sleep that night because their conscience will bother them. Well, they don't have a guilty conscience because the facts are irrelevant. You can share all the facts you want. And I say, well, thank you for sharing, and go on. It doesn't bother them because facts mean nothing. It's feelings that are driving their life. And so they don't have any guilty conscience because they're not wrong. It's just maybe if they are caught doing something wrong, they'll just say, well, I was doing it badly and I'll do it better next time. While in discussion, there are specifics, what you can and cannot do. Like God saying you can eat of the fruit of these trees, but you cannot eat the fruit of those, of that one. And that's stated up front. All throughout the Word of God, you're finding God telling you up front, these are the conditions. And we hear the phrase, the devil's in the details. Well, where does that come from? Because a person who goes to dialogue, they're going to generalize. And they don't want you to know all the truth because they want their outcome. And if they gave you all the facts, then they wouldn't be able to do it. And so you've got to do the research and pin them down, and they're going to fight every tooth and nail to keep you from getting to the facts. That's why he called the devils in the details. The dialogue, in dialogue, there is only the big print. What you want to do, the details are, well, the rest of the story is conveniently left out, missing. You know, you want to go out and play with some kids. You know there are going to be some problems, but you don't want your parents to know. See, and so you're not going to give, you know, you're not going to give them too much information. As little as possible. None if possible. So the big print is what you want to do. The details are the rest of the story is conveniently left out, missing. Replacing the details with generalization. Karl Marx wrote an article called The Holy Family. And there actually has two sentences you could lead a person to the Lord with. And you go, how could he do that? What would Karl Marx write this excellent definition of a believer? Well, if you want to destroy something as a scientist, you have to know specifically what it is so you don't miss the mark. You want to have it all there so when you destroy it, there's nothing left. And then there he generalizes. He takes all the fruit trees and he finds what they all have in common, and then he makes that the focal point. It's generalized. Well, if you have an orchard and you treat all the trees the same, you're going to have a lot of dead trees. It's in the details. Anybody who deals with plants or animals knows it's in the details. Well, now the medical profession has gone general. See, and that comes from dialogue. Dialogue is general. Discussion is details. So while in a discussion there are specifics, what you can and cannot do, stated up front, in dialogue there is only the big print, what you want to do, the details, the rest of the story is conveniently left out. It's missing. Sort of like a vaccine. Supposed to spend 5 years so we can have an honest discussion, but it was a dialogue. Now we're paying the price. People are who took it. Replacing the details with generalization, the details only conveniently being brought up in order to divide. See, if you have a person comes in with discussion, you have two people that are uniting, you find what they disagree on in detail, focus on that, and you divide and conquer. Those oven for the world, when it comes to behavior, seek to make discussion subject to dialogue in all things, negating discussion, engendering what's called so-called science. Evaluating where a person is along a spectrum of discussion dialogue, that's what's going on. It's no longer right, wrong. It's where along the spectrum you are. Are you more patriarchal minded or heresiarchal minded? And it's very complex. It's a subtle but complex process. Evaluating where a person is along a spectrum of discussion dialogue, his adaptability to change. Because we can go to dialogue. If you create an environment of dialogue, there's a tendency of us to go into that direction of dialogue. If you create an environment of discussion, there's a tendency to go in that direction of discussion. And so the agenda is to always create this environment of dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? And the more we go into that realm, the more the person who insists upon discussion will become perceived as being argumentative. So at any given moment regarding any given situation or issue, moving him or her experientially, called the psychomotor, from discussion to dialogue, so he or she can do wrong, disobey, sin, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates without having a guilty conscience, which is a product of discussion. There's no father's authority. There's no wrong in dialogue. There's no father's authority. There's no wrong in an opinion. And there's no father's authority. There is no wrong in consensus. So they can do wrong and disobey and sin. They can lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates without, with your affirmation if you participate. And that means without being judged, condemned, or cast out, since right, wrong, that is discussion. That is the Father's authority, that is doing the Father's will, according to those of and for the world, is the basis of prejudice. Why attack God when instead you can change how a person communicates with himself, others, the world, and authority? That is, change his paradigm, replacing discussion with dialogue when it comes to behavior. And he becomes God himself, no longer needing God. Finding his identity with all the gods of the world, making his carnal nature and the world that stimulates it all there is. All else being a phenomena or unexplainable. Man's reasoning ability, which comes from God, is used either to reason from what he has been told, that is, from the Word of God, or else, when it comes to discussion, deals with the creation, that is, true science, that is, biologically, for example, a man is a man, and a woman is a woman, designed physically and emotionally for procreation. Or you can reason from what he wants, according to his impulses and urges, lusts of the moment. That's where the dialogue would take you, that the world's stimulating, where all is, quote, fair game when it comes to sexual desires. Boys can be girls, and girls can become boys, and they can become anything else on the face of the earth. Imagination of men's hearts were evil continuously before the flood. Discussion emanates from being told. Dialogue from what you want. As dialogue takes over the world, and it is, that is, becomes progressively the only means of communication, especially when it comes to behavior, the ability of people to carry on a true discussion, especially when it comes to the Word of God, with the Word of God having the final say, becomes more difficult, if at all possible. Ironically, those who promote dialogue when it comes to behavior must tell those under their influence they will not be held accountable for their thoughts. That happened in the garden. Having a form of godliness, in other words, telling others what to do, but denying the power of it. No God's judgment on them for disobeying, for sinning. You shall not surely die. That's what that was all about. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. You cannot preach the word of God, that is God's judgment upon sin, into a culture of dialogue and it be heard. They cannot receive it. Dialogue will not allow it. It is what the Apostle Paul was explaining in Romans, the first chapter, verses 19 through 32. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, God gives us a very clear explanation of discussion. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Belial means worthlessness. It's just dialogue. It's vanity. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I'll walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. The Father gives you right, wrong. That's a discussion. There's right and there's wrong, and there's no in between. Either obey or you disobey. And so the Father judges you on whether you obeyed his commands, rules, facts, and applied his facts and truth, or whether you did not. But the communist dictator Mao Zedong, promoting dialogue, stated, words and actions should help to unite and not divide the people. Well, if we dialogue, we all have something in common. We'll all unite on this. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What Karl Marx called sensuous need, sense perception, and sense experience. Just made it sound academic. Wilford Bien, in his book, A Memoir of the Future, explained the agenda is to, quote, prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. KNOWS, in caps. Prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. In other words, your thoughts. You don't want God to be filling your thoughts. In dialogue, God is not filling your thoughts. The Father is not filling your thoughts. It's how you feel and what you think. Your carnal desires are filling your thoughts. And God warned us. He actually cared. Because you refuse to recognize me and my law, and I'm paraphrasing here, you refuse to recognize me and my law. I refuse to recognize your children. There's a consequence for preventing someone who knows from filling the empty space. The agenda is to prevent the parents from filling the children's empty space with right-wrong thinking. Now, the parents can be wrong, but it's that way of thinking that's the issue. It's not the content. It's the method. It's the paradigm that is under attack. Satan's device is replacing discussion, what the Father says, whether it's an earthly father or heavenly father, with dialogue. That's how the children feel and what they think. We're now a child-driven society. How do you feel? What do you think now? Instead of what do you know? When it comes to defining and establishing behavior, all Satan, the master facilitator of change, the master psychotherapist, has to do is seduce you into dialoguing where discussion should be taking place. In other words, get you go, I feel and I think, where it should be, Dad says. or the teacher says, or God says, or the boss says. All he had to do was seduce the woman in the garden, in Eden, into dialogue. That is, basing right and wrong behavior upon her feelings of the moment, her natural inclination to touch. She wanted to touch. That the environment that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was stimulating, thereby negating discussion what God said, what the Father said regarding right and wrong behavior, where God the Father has the final say. She didn't go to the Father for the definition. She went to the master facilitator of change, whose agenda was to get her into dialogue, because if he got her into dialogue, she was now going to redefine what God said according to her carnal desires. Dialogue was going to rise to the surface. When it comes to knowing right and wrong behavior, discussion is based upon doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which you've been told. You don't change them. According to what the Father says. While dialogue is a generalizing. In other words, you add to it or you take away. While dialogue is based upon your carnal desires, your feelings of the moment that the world is stimulating. Stimulus response. See, everything in a creation is stimulus response, except the soul. The soul knows by being told. Depending upon which you turn to when it comes to behavior defines you as a conservative or a liberal. Now, I know you can get into debate on those terms, but I'm just laying it out. You're conserve, right and wrong, or you're liberal. You liberate yourself from right and wrong. Liberté, egalité, fraternité. That's where that all comes from. Either walking in faith, that is by what you've been told, or walking by sight. That is by your sensuous needs, this is Marx, sense perception, and sense experience, known as lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You don't want to sound spiritual now, you want to sound academic. You have to leave anything outside of human nature, outside of the world, outside of your conversation with yourself and with others. That's the agenda. But only that which is of nature, of course, the Bible would say, is of the world. And so we would find 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, God's definition, and Karl Marx's definition of being sensuous needs, sense perception, and sense experience. When dialogue becomes the means to establishing right and wrong behavior, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that is, the law of the flesh becomes the law of the land, oppressing the people. Well, it's oppressive because people have a soul, and the soul knows by being told. So people know something's wrong. And they're oppressed. Now, to give you a clear explanation of the difference between discussion and dialogue, Bohm and Pete, in their book Science, Order, and Creativity, give an excellent explanation of discussion. First, I'll give it. They wrote, in an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. So it's an act of persuasion. Of being told. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ insisted upon doing and insists upon everyone else doing his Father's will. Not once did he say, what can I get out of this situation or object or person or people for myself? That is, to feed his flesh or tell anyone else to do the same. That's the language of dialogue. In John 5, verse 30, here's what Jesus said. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Matthew 12, verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And so that's a discussion. It's the preach commands and rules, teach facts and truth, and if there are any questions, you have a discussion. Come, let us reason together. Not dialogue. You can never dialogue with God, because dialogue, you're God. And you're breaking the first commandment. You're putting yourself equal with God. It's not going to happen. Not on God's turf. In a discussion, the Father has the final say. Your position is, and therefore your thoughts and actions are dependent upon what he says. That is, on what you're told. In dialogue, on the other hand, you have to suspend as upon a cross. And he'll use the word suspend. That's very important. Because you have to suspend. For the sake of, you ever done this? You meet somebody you like, and you know that they have a little, you're not sure about their position on an issue, and so you don't bring it up. because you're afraid that if it conflicted with your position that you would lose that relationship? Well, yeah, people say today, let's not push Jesus on anybody. Let's build relationship first, and then later, once you bond, then you can share. Okay, you know what you just did? Because if they mention something sinful and wicked, Jesus with the woman at the well, he didn't say, well, let's come back, you know, come back on Thursday and we'll have a one-hour session. No, he addressed the issue right there. As a believer, see, this is the difference between a Christian. They didn't kill Christians in the Soviet Union. They killed believers. Because a believer didn't go to dialogue. A believer would always stay in discussion. And so when somebody came and was doing something wrong, and they had the opportunity, they would tell them, what you're doing is wrong. Jesus told the woman at the well, what she did was wrong. And so it was a discussion. He didn't do it to destroy her. He did it for her soul, to save her. He spoke to her soul. The soul knows by being told. She knew what he was saying was true. So in dialogue, on the other hand, you have to suspend as upon a cross. You have to put the Lord on the cross. And you say, well, I didn't put the Lord on the cross. We didn't bring it up. You say, well, I didn't want to say anything here because I wanted to be a witness later on. You're a witness right there. To be silent, in the midst of unrighteousness, to be silent is consent. That's a legal term. If your lawyer, if another lawyer accuses you of something, your lawyer doesn't jump in there and cut it off, it becomes recognized as being true. And so when somebody says something immoral and you don't address it, you know, you take Jesus and you put him on a cross. You say, well, I didn't put him on a cross. Yes, you, well, I want to be a witness later. No, you're already a witness. Your silence is the witness. And you had to put Christ on the cross to do it. Because he wouldn't have. He would have addressed it. In dialogue, on the other hand, you have to suspend as upon a cross any established command, rule, fact, or truth that is what the Father says, that divides you from others in order for you to build relationship with them and then build relationship with you, that is built upon your and their common self-interest or lust, called, the Bible calls that sand, shifting sand. That's all dialogue is. It's just all over the place. But you're going to build your house on it. God wants you to build your house on discussion, right and wrong, no confusion. And then will I profess unto them. Now this is Matthew chapter 7, verses 23 through 29. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. At the very end here, he says, they were all amazed at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. See, in a discussion, you have authority. In dialogue, you don't. You're just all over the place. Well, that's your opinion. That's my opinion. Going back, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. That's discussion. And not as the scribes, dialogue. While discussion divides upon right, wrong, dialogue unites upon what people have in common, that is their lust for pleasure, which includes affirmation from others. Oh, we all want to be approved by others. Picking up your cross, denying yourself first of all, quit the dialogue. Pick up your cross means don't justify other people's sins. The rocky soil, the parable of the rocky soil, the rocks are your friends. You'll never go deeper into the Word of God than your friendship with others will allow you. See, that's the desire for approval of men. You have to be willing to pick up your cross. Stand alone. Be rejected. Nobody wants you around. Here he comes. Oh, you can't. Don't get him started. Their lust for pleasure, which includes affirmation from others, and their resentment towards restraint that gets in the way of, that inhibits or blocks pleasure. In essence, dialogue divides between those who justify or affirm lust approving them. While rejecting those who, insisting upon doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, doing the Father's will, inhibit or block the praxis of lust. Now, when it comes to dialogue, Bohm and Pete, in their book Science, Order, and Creativity, write, "A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with a primary interest in the creation of common meaning." What do we all have in common? Everyone on the face of the earth. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Sensuous needs, sense perception, sense experience. Only that which is of the world. When you want to do what you want to do, you go to dialogue. You go to I feel and I think, making your opinion the basis for determining right and wrong behavior. When you want to do what is right and not wrong, that is what the Father says, you go to discussion, where the Father has the final say. That is, because I said so, or it is written, as Jesus stated three times in the temptations in the wilderness. Dad says, Dad says, Dad says. Never went to dialogue. Never went, I feel, I think. Dad says. Whether it is a child, a parent, an educator, an employer, or employed, a legislator, a leader, a judge, or a minister, it is all the same. With discussion holding those under authority accountable to the commands, rules, facts, and truth that they have been told. But in dialogue, they're liberated from the commands, rules, facts, and truth that they've been told, so they can do what they want without having a guilty conscience. As well as not being held accountable, as long as you can get everybody dialogue and you're not going to be judged, condemned, or cast out for their carnal thoughts. They're going to justify your carnal thoughts and you're going to justify theirs. That's what dialogue does. Only by replacing discussion, what the Father says, with dialogue, what the child wants, when it comes to defining and establishing behavior, can parental authority be replaced with the child's carnal natures by what all children have in common. That's what happened in Genesis 3:1-6. So we'll pick up right here on the next presentation.